seems like a lifetime ago.
Right. Might have to edit that front bit of that recording, Gareth. Has it come up? So, last week, not last week, because we weren't here last week, last time I spoke, we looked at the love of God in the New Testament, the agape love. And prior to that, about a month prior to that, Debbie had spoken on love. And as we prepared to go away last weekend to spend the weekend away with River Church, I felt God give me something else about love. So we're just going to extend this out a bit further. But before we start, cast your mind back to your school days.
Which one?
Your latter days at school, probably. And what classics did you study? Maybe a book in English. Sorry?
Northanger Abbey.
Oh, I'm not.
Jane Austen.
No. Oh! Any others?
Merchant of Venice.
Merchant of Venice. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Any others? Cider with Rosie. Yes. Yeah. We did Lord of the Flies, yeah, and 1984, and my favourite, not your Shakespeare play, but another one, was Twelfth Night. Well, yeah, we went to Stratford to see it performed, and yeah, it was lovely. And I've still got, you know, I didn't become a Christian until much later in life, so I've still got my stolen school copy. Still says Hastingsbury School, Kempston, Bedford. It's so well thumbed. I don't think they'd want it back. And of course, it's got all my handwritten notes inside it. Play on. Give me excess of it, that, surfeiting, my appetite may sicken and so die. And you know, it's a fantastic story of love and confused identity, and the character of Malvolio, it's so funny. But that quote that we both recall. If music be the food of love, play on, you know, want more of it, so it becomes sick of it and love will die. It's not generally how we think of love, but But we're not going to focus on that love this morning. That Eros love, if you like. We're going to look at something different. And this was a word that God gave me. A Hebrew word. Chesed. You find it about 250 times scattered through the Old Testament. And there are books written on this word. There are learned articles. And I ought to say right at the beginning, I am not a Hebrew scholar. I've read some stuff that I'll share with you, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I would encourage you to dig deep and just read some stuff, because it's quite illuminating. And we're going to find out more about this as it occurs in one or two passages, but you know, I can't do justice to it because, one, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and two, we can't go through all the scriptures. So it'll just be a flavour of this word. And as we read it in our various English translations, it is most commonly translated as love. But our Western thinking of love can be quite muddled at times, and can't quite do justice to it, because this word does not easily translate straightforwardly into love. There's more to it than that. So the first verse we're going to look at is Psalm 107:43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. That's the NIV. In the Passion it says, if you're truly wise, you'll learn from what I've told you. It's time for you to consider these profound lessons of God's great love and mercy. Let the one who is wise. Debbie, you've got your Bible open. Could you read that verse in Hosea, please? 14, verse 9. Hosea 14, verse 9. Should have primed you.
Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
So if we're wise, and not the wisdom of the word. If we're wise, we're studying what God has said. We're listening to what he says. We are following what he has said, primarily in his word. We're, you know, not just the recorded spoken word of God, but the complete word of God from Genesis through to Revelation. We will follow these things. It's also talking about the rest of Psalm 107. We haven't got time to go into that, but we need to follow what God is saying and ponder the loving deeds, the things that God does in love. And that's where Chesed really comes into being. I hope you can see it. I've just cut and pasted this from one of my parallel Bibles that I've got. So this is from the Westminster Leningrad Codex, and because it's Hebrew, it reads that way. And there's love, and some of the meanings that it can be. Those kind acts, those loving deeds. And I really would encourage you to not only read your favourite translation, but to, you know, when you're looking at something in the Old Testament, look at how it's worded in the Hebrew. Or if you're reading something in the New Testament, look at how it's set out in the Greek. Because you can, all this stuff is available for free. You can, and God, before you read anything in the Bible, ask God to speak to you through it. And you know, he will always reveal himself, and you'll gain so much more. Not knowledge or knowledge per se, but you'll gain something about the character of God. And if you really want to go further, you'll look at each individual letter and what does each individual letter represent. You're getting a bit of a wormhole then. You forget why you started. just encourage you to do that. So, that Hebrew word. In the Passion, it's translated as great love and mercy. Those kind, loving deeds. What the psalmist here is inviting us to do is to dwell on them, to spend time focusing on what God has done out of love, out of mercy for his people, to learn from them. So we'll take that stage further in a moment. Who's got or had a tatty Bible? Yeah, we've probably all got one. You know, I a little while ago thrown one of mine away because it was losing pages. It became unserviceable as a Bible. I rely on electronic ones, but there's something about the Bible in your hands. So we've probably all got a tatty Bible. Different question. Who has deliberately damaged or destroyed a Bible? No one. You all righteously shaking your heads. Why not? It's a book. It's not nice. But as we read in Scripture, certain characters did. And we're going to read of Moses. Not quite the Bible, but it did destroy the written word of God. Because Moses had been summoned up the mountain to meet with God, and the people stayed behind with Aaron, and God gave Moses those two stone tablets with the covenant written upon them. He was up there with Joshua for a long while, because God didn't just given the stone tablets. He had a lot to say about constructing the tabernacle, about what the priests would wear, etc., etc., and how to go about their business. And the people, as you will probably recall, sort of forgot about Moses and were saying, we want to worship a different God. And so they made the golden calf. They melted down their bits of gold and got Aaron to make a golden calf for them. And God could see all this going on and was saying to Moses, there are stiff-necked people and I'm going to sort them out. And Moses pleaded their case and went down the mountain, and they could hear all the noise. And Joshua said, oh, well, we don't need to go into all that detail. But they got there, and Moses was angry, so angry that he threw the stones down and broke them. He broke that word of God, and in effect breaking the covenant between God and his people. Moses was called up the mountain again, and God told him to chisel out two new tablets, and he would write on them afresh. And we come to this bit in Exodus. Exodus 34, 6-7a. I'll just read it from the NIV. You can glance through it in the ESV if you wish. And he, God, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion." So here's God declaring, "The Lord, the Lord." It'd be a bit like me coming in and say, "Andrew, I'm Andrew." He's not doing it for effect. Or just for effect. He's underlining who he is. I am who I am. The Lord, the Lord. The compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger. Abounding in love. Abounding in steadfast love. This is how that Hebrew word is now translated. It isn't just love. It's an outpouring of love that can't be contained. It's a love that's got energy. It's got life. It's got power in it. And it's a steadfast love. You often read that in the English translations. Chesed is translated often as steadfast. It's faithful. It's devoted love. That is how God loves us. He maintains that love, sustains it. The two versions here speak of the multitude. The thousands is just a literary technique, you know. He loves everybody in that way, in that devoted way, in that all-consuming way. You can't hold back. God cannot hold back the stream of that love. It abounds. It's got so much energy and life. And then switching to look at us, and how should we respond? In Micah, he says, He has shown you, O mortal, O man. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And NASB talks of, other versions too, of love kindness. That's how chesed is translated. It's a love that's a merciful love that desires to do no harm to others, but goes beyond that, wants to do good for them, but especially those who are marginalized, who society is perhaps not valuing. You go the extra mile to help those people. You know, when we were away last weekend, I saw at least two examples of how people demonstrated that merciful, kind, compassionate, abundant love. There was one chap, you know, he was just asked by Rob to put together a first aid kit for the weekend, just in case we had it. Not that we were going to have any injuries or accidents, just to put together. And prior to going, day or so before, Rob sent me a WhatsApp message and he said, just look at this. And this chap had assembled two giant kit bags of first aid equipment. A COVID response bag so that, you know, we didn't all have to lock down, and an emergency first aid kit. His love for all the people that were going to be attending that week went beyond providing the 50 person first aid kit that you can buy in shops. He got a whole kit caboodle. I think God must have been in it, because two people needed his assistance and ended up in hospital. And one of those people was little Sasha. And two people went off with Sasha and Oksana to hospital. And they could have deposited them at the hospital and said, ring Rob when you're finished in the hospital and someone will sort out your transport back to where we were all staying. But no, they stayed with them through the... Yeah. Just sat with them and waited. And you know what it's like in A&E. You wait and you wait and you wait. It seems like an eternity for something to happen and results to come back, and then to be diagnosed, and etc. etc. That was going beyond. You know, as they came back, it was late on that evening. They got back. You could see how tired they all were from just the emotional trauma. But you know, it's just exhausting sitting, waiting. But they were all smiling and giving, still giving of themselves. And that's what it means to love with kindness and mercy and compassion. Chesed, you know, just as God is compassionate and merciful and kind, we are called to act likewise. You know, there's so many people who are struggling. It might be with domestic abuse, it might be with addiction, it might be with the fact that they've recently come out of prison. And those people can be marginalised. And they need to be responded to with mercy and justice, not judged unfairly. I like this verse. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. I know we've said it once already. He is abounding in love. But is this the way it's translated? Chesed in the Passion is, your love is like a flooding river overflowing the banks with kindness. You know, we often look at a river that's burst its banks and is spreading across floodplains, or even worse, through towns and villages with alarm. But God's love can overwhelm and overcome some really difficult situations with kindness. To have translated chesed as merely love. Oh, bless him. To translate chesed merely as love would have done God a great disservice, because his love is abounding. His love washes over us and around us and through us and in us. It's a gentle love. It's a passionate love. It's a love with life and devotion. Sorry? Yeah. So this isn't from the Bible, it's a poster somebody has made, but somebody attempting to draw together the meanings of chesed, the consistent, merciful, kind, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of God. And I didn't want to leave it there, because last time we spoke to Agape, and I wanted to draw the two together. So there you've got the first couple of verses from Ephesians 5, both in NIV and Passion. And it starts off, follow God's example. Be imitators of God. That's how he represents himself, both in the Old and the New Testament. He isn't just talking about the chunk that went before this chapter. It's the entirety of God. What we learn about God's love by looking at chesed, we have to tie to what we've learned previously about agape. And just to remind you, last time, love is patient, love is kind, love rejoices with the truth, and love never fails. Love never fails. Some of the things we looked at last time. So although love in this passage isn't chesed, it's agape. We bring with it chesed because of this. Follow God's example. As dearly loved children, He loves us as only God can love us. We need to walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us. That sacrifice. In Genesis, God grabbed hold of the earth and molded that bit of dirt, shaped it into Adam, and then breathed his life into Adam, because he was demonstrating his love for mankind. When he sent his son to teach and guide all of us and to sacrifice himself on the cross, he did that as a loving father, and Christ did that sacrifice out of love for each and every one of us. And we have to try and model that. We're made in God's image, so we should strive not in our own strength, but in God's strength, to imitate God, to follow His example. It's not easy. It's a challenge, something we have to come to daily and refocus our efforts and say sorry for the things that weren't done in love. Seek His forgiveness. And then set about imitating all that we've understood through what Debbie's shared and what we've looked at together over these last couple of messages on God's love. I just leave you with these. These are just a couple of pictures with that scripture on. We need to walk in the way of love, live a life filled with love, and follow the example of Christ, following God's example. That's it, folks. Because His word and He is lovely. It's meant to be a reflection of Him.